Hello, everybody. Welcome in to another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics and the nuts and bolts of making comics at Valiant Comics. Heather Antos is joining me to talk about a whole other subject, but you might have seen the news. Heather is now an editor at Valiant, so I wanted to say on the podcast, congratulations. That's awesome. You were filling me in a little bit more about the exciting stuff that's on tap, and as we're recording, you've been on the job for about a month.
Yeah, I started, my first day was January 2nd, so literally at the turn of the year. Got announced a week or so later, and yeah, playing with the characters in the Valiant universe right now, as well as coming up with some brand new ones. So it's a fun time.
That is excellent. So everybody, of course, go and get all the Valiant titles pulled if you haven't already, and pay attention to Heather's Twitter feed and Valiant's Twitter feed, and we'll find out what you're working on, because it sounds like there is a lot of cool coming out, and I am very excited. I also mentioned that I've read the current incarnation of Valiant, and it is very cool stuff, and it seems like it fits extremely well into your wheelhouse, so that is awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I'm super excited, and for anyone who knows me and my love of penguins, Valiant Universe actually has a very special relationship with penguins, so I'm going to try and work some magic in that corner of the universe as well.
I'm totally not picking up on what that is. Is that one where I have to tune in and find out?
Because you have to tune in and find out.
I don't remember a penguin in Turok. There might have been, and I'm just blanking on it.
Well, I'll give a little small tease. I don't want to stray too much from the actual topic of the podcast. But back in the 90s, when Valiant first came about, Editor-in-Chief Jim Shooter decided that there are no penguins that exist in the Valiant universe, and I am pitching my rebuttal to that.
Oh boy. I was trying to fit in a Defiant joke, but that sounds very fun. The topic at hand is tabling at conventions, the pros and cons of tabling at conventions, and I guess that's something I could have asked you before we started too, because I imagine you'll be at some conventions with Valiant. Is that something that has been determined yet? Is that where?
Yeah. We literally just solidified travel for the first half of the year. So I can announce that I will be at Emerald City Comic Con with Valiant. I will be at Indie Pop Con in Indianapolis, and I will be at Heroes Con so far for the first half of the year. Not sure what the back half looks like, but I will be in Seattle, Indianapolis, and Charlotte.
Those are fantastic cons. That's terrific.
They are. I'm so excited. Valiant gave me just asked me, hey, what shows do you want to go to? And I gave them a list, and they gave me my top two that I wanted. So
nice.
Super fantastic.
And you are going to be tabling at the con. And the way that you had thought we might frame this is jumping in with reasons to table. And that's something that I've had a little bit of experience with. I've had friends over the years that have been nice enough to let me sit in at their tables and not do anything officially with me, you know, name and banner. I've never done that level, but stuff that we worked on together or just all create our own comics. And it is an interesting education to get behind a table, I think, at any level. But I'm sure with your experience starting off on the creator own side and then moving into the Marvel side, you've had nothing but stories and nothing but insights gleaned from it. So why table at a show?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone, I think when you're starting out in comics, that's something that we all aspire to, right? You know, we want to end up being invited to be a guest at a show, or even just apply and be accepted to a show ourselves to table at. It's a certain level of status to achieve too. It's very exciting to get that. Yes, you've been accepted email. But I think there is something very important to keep in mind, because, you know, tabling at Comic-Cons isn't cheap. You have the price of the table, you have the price of, you know, accommodation, you have the price of travel, if it's not local, food, et cetera, et cetera. It adds up very, 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 very quickly. And, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to break even or make a profit whatsoever. And so I always think it comes down to two things when deciding why you should table at a con. And one is especially if you are starting out or if you are primarily a self-published creator owned, not A-list talent level, is one, do you have the personality to run a table by yourself? And B, do you have something to promote? Because I mean, everyone has been to a Comic-Con where they approach an artist's table or a writer's table and, you know, it's just awkwardly silent. and I've had this as an editor, even like walking, you know, when I was at Marvel, like I'd be walking around looking at artist stuff and the artist just won't talk to me. And it's like, I'm looking at your stuff because I, one, am interested enough to potentially offer you a job or B, buy your shit. Like, these are two positive things. Like, no one is ever going to stop at your table for a negative intention. You know what I mean? Like, so they're there for you. And engage them. You know, I don't know what the statistics are, but a customer is going to be more likely to actually make a purchase if you get them excited about the product. And if you personally don't have the personality to want to talk to 100 billion strangers that come to your table, then bring a friend who can do that for you. I've done that. My good buddy, Jay Fosgate, I was his table assistant for years back when I was getting started, because he doesn't like to talk to strangers, and I have no problem talking the ears off strangers and selling comics. So I would do that for him. But I think the other big thing is too, as we discussed a little bit beforehand, is if you don't have anything new to promote, why are you spending all the money to go to the show? Especially if it's a show that you've been to before. If it's your first time at a show, then and you have just old stuff to show off, that's one thing, because it's a new audience, right? It's a new customer base. You're introducing yourself to them. But if, say, you went to Emerald City Comic Con last year and you haven't had any new books come out this year, or you haven't come out with any new prints or what have you, so you have no new product to promote, you're only going to be selling to the same people. And so if I already bought your, you know, every character from Batman parodied as every character from Star Wars print, I'm not going to buy the same one. I already have it. What is something new that you have? I've talked with plenty of even the big name creators that are guaranteed to get commissions and sales at any show they go to. They still won't put in the time to go to shows that they normally go to if they don't have something new to promote, because it's a lot of time. It's a lot of money.
Right.
And, they'd rather be actually working on the product that they want to be promoting at the next show.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It is, I guess, the, you know, putting on the business hat is something that you have to do getting into comics at different points, whether it's reevaluating where you are or thinking about if you're trying to make a shift or what your goals are, if you're trying to do your own thing or break in. And the expense, like you said, I mean, it just, a bus ride, a train ride, a car ride, a plane ticket.
Hotels.
A hotel.
Like, hotels are so expensive.
And when I hear people that self-publish at a high level that do conventions and share numbers about how much it costs to go to a San Diego or a New York, which, you know, granted are larger and have more people and exposure in theory, but just the dollars to get product there, to get your stuff in and to get it set up, and then to have to climb that mountain of 3 or 4 days of selling and engaging.
And then if you don't sell and have to ship it all back, like it adds up. It adds up so fast.
And to your greater point, having things that are new to promote, because maybe that's where people are getting to know you or have returned business over the years or getting your name out. And like you said, it's so much about that interaction of, you know, that's why you go to a show and want to talk to somebody, because you like their work, or you do just want to wander around and go, oh, that looks cool, tell me about it, what is it, and then pick it up and then start reading more and then become a reader, you know, become a fan of a title or the creative team, is because not everybody has the, you know, the big marquee power and that you know all the names of, and just like you said, getting just getting that little bit of, I guess it's visibility and the chance to tell somebody what you're doing while you're there. I mean, that's huge that somebody stops by your table and maybe, I don't, like you said, statistically, how many people might buy, aren't going to buy, I don't know. But just the chance to have an interaction and to give your 30-second elevator pitch and, hey, how you doing? How's your show? You know, this is, feel free to look. It's this kind of book. If you like this kind of thing, you might like it. And, you know, come back to me if you got any questions. Just something that can get people engaged and on their way. With your experience, I mean, it's, you've seen both sides of the table, figuratively, literally, as far as the creator-owned stuff and getting into Marvel and now Valiant. For different people, it's not going to make sense to table. What are some reasons why it wouldn't, you'd go to a convention and not table, but you're looking for work or looking to engage with other people, whether they're on the editorial side or maybe looking for collaborators?
I mean, networking through and through. I look at guest lists for Comic Cons all the time, and I did it when I was trying to break in and make connections and network, is, you know, who's going to be at the show that I want to meet. And I would scour Twitter at editors and who's going to be at what show. Okay, this editor is at this show. This is someone who I want to meet or just build a connection with. And it's, I think one of the kind of along with tabling, things that people forget, is that comics is a business, right? First and foremost, comics is a business. Yes, at the end of the day, all I want to do is sit at home and write and not talk to anyone, or all I want to do is sit at home and draw and not talk to anyone, and I would just want, you know, to magically finish the project and the book to just sell themselves, or you know, my name to just sell itself. But that's just not how it works.
Right.
It's a hustle. It is a constant hustle. And even if you are, you know, someone who is consistently getting invited to these shows, like, they're still hustling. You don't necessarily see it, but the hustle is there. And for me, like, that hustle when I was trying to break in, was attending these cons and not tabling. And it was how I put a face to a name to people I had been interacting with via social media or via email. It's how I, you know, it's how I broke in. I mean, we talked about this beforehand. I would literally tweet professionals in the industry and just say, like, hey, I see you're going to be at the show. I'm going to be at the show. Let's sit down and have a cup of coffee. Let's talk. Will you talk with me? Tell me about your job. How did you get in? Because, like, here's the thing, is everyone knows, everyone working in the industry, who has the power to hire, understands that everyone else at the con wants a job. Like, it's, you don't need to say it. We all know. We're all aware, but this is an opportunity to actually build that human connection and to meet people and see if this is someone that you want to work with. And then, as a creator, you know, trying to approach these editors, it shows the editor, you know, the drive that you have to make that connection and build that relationship. And attend these panels and ask smart questions and just meet people and mingle. When I remember my New York Comic Con 2014, this was right before I started interviewing with Marvel, but I was, you know, walking around and promoting my Kickstarter for my self-published book at the time, Unlawful Good. And I was talking with Declan Shelby about it, and he was like, oh, it's crime comics. Like, oh, that's interesting. You should talk to Ed Brisson. He really likes crime comics. And Matt Rosenberg, he really likes crime comics. Like, because I talked to Declan, Declan then introduced me and told me to talk to a bunch of other people in the industry.
Right.
And like, that's how I made those connections. Which then later, when I ended up getting the job at Marvel, like, those are connections that then I was like, I already have these connections, and these are cool creators that I think are up and coming that we should be working with.
Nice.
And, you know, fast forward now, Matt and Ed both have exclusive contracts with Marvel. Like, it's, you know, the patterns are all there.
Right.
And it just... You know, for me, I didn't have anything to sell. I didn't have anything new to promote. And I knew, too, at a show like New York Comic Con, I'm going to be a small, a tiny, tiny, tiny little, like, caviar egg in a sea of sharks, right?
Right.
So it just doesn't make sense for me to table at something like this. But it made more sense for me to walk around and pitch myself and make those introductions than it would to, like, you know, sit down next to, you know, like a Mark Brooks or Adi Granov, where the crowd is going to, their line is going to cover my table.
Right. Right. No known quantities that are people that are coming to see them. I think you really, you know, you really did sum it up. It's so much about the treating it like a business and going through to see who's going to be there, what panels they are, having the interaction on social media, or maybe even, you know, offline over email. It's huge. And to go in, not to say that your convention planning, because I always did try to say, like, well, I got an hour, I'm just going to go wander around. But to build out a schedule thinking like, okay, well, who do I want to talk to? Well, I want to talk to these people. What do I want to find out? You know, and the interactions, sometimes they're incredibly long. Sometimes they're incredibly short. But, you know, a lot of times there's that funny surprise, like Jonathan Ross. I remember at San Diego Comic-Con not having a line. I was like, this is weird. I'm just going to talk to Jonathan Ross because he's here promoting his Image book. And, you know, nothing came of it other than a story that I got to tell later, like, couldn't believe it, just chatting with that guy, and gave him my comic and he seemed into it. But there's so much that I think, you know, the quote scheduling fun time was a part of it for me, but the bigger picture of figuring out who to talk to, and like you said, you know, people know that you're there for the business side, but so much about any kind of business is figuring out the people that you like their work, you want to work with them, you think you can bring something to the table for them, and having those relationships that kind of kick off there, and then you're able to follow up and, you know, continue and further those relationships, because you get to know people, and sometimes, you know, you're meeting them first online and then in person, and it can kind of build from there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, you just truly never know where it's going to go. Which is why, you know, I also stand by my other rule in life of just don't be a dick.
Yep. Yep.
Like, you know, it's a situation where I meet tons of people at Comic Cons,
sure.
and I understand that, you know, everyone talking to me has the ulterior motive of they want a job.
I just want to talk penguins. That's
well,
all.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's truly the way to my heart, but. yeah, I, you know, just because I don't have something that I can, you know, hire you for today doesn't mean 6 months down the line that's, you know, that's going to be the same case.
Right.
And so, or like 6 months down the line when I'm at another convention and we happen to cross paths again and it's, oh, we've already established a relationship. We know who each other is, so now we can just talk as human beings and talk comics and talk shop, and oh, there might be something down the line that I can offer you now or whatever. Like it all because we had that initial high at a Comic-Con that no one was tabling at.
Right. No, it's 100%, and you can follow up and Like you said, it's the golden rule of don't be a dick. It's what it's, you don't have any other opportunities. You rarely have other opportunities to go and really lean into the things that get you excited about genre stuff or creating stuff. You know, it's you can find somebody else that also loves Valiant from the 90s and loves Valiant today, that loves to talk about Star Wars, or randomly walk around and see somebody does a book that you've never heard of because they're creator-owned and don't have a lot of budget, but you love it because it's a similar topic that you like, or has nothing to do with anything you like. You just love the art and you pick it up, and you know you can kind of not that I think people always go through life, you know, with the shields up and not letting all the layers through, but it is truly a place you can go, oh, I love that thing too, and get into a conversation with somebody about what you love, so you can really show that aspect of your enthusiasm and how much you're into whatever. And I think that, you know, that alone can sometimes be such a nice thing to find people that also remember this series, and I can't believe it's not being published anymore, and what happened, or wow, you made this comic and it was the biggest thing for me, and I'm so glad you're still doing awesome comic, whatever the conversations are. Or here's my stuff, I really like what you do, you know, if you ever want to talk more, I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on what I'm doing and what the next level might be for me, if you have suggestions. You know, the very clear, I guess, ask is often something I feel like gets repeated. If you're meeting somebody to just introduce yourself, you don't have a motive beyond, hi, I just want to say hi, I really like your work. Or if it is the Heather, I followed you at Marvel, I love the image stuff you're working on, but can we meet and have a coffee? You know, because I know you're also going to be at Heroes, because I'm really interested in editing, or whatever that actual ask is going to be.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said it all exactly. I mean, like it's yeah, don't be a dick, do the thing, make the ask, show your face, do the work. You know, it's everything that we say in every single one of these podcasts. It's but yeah, like, you know, it's I think when it comes to Comic Cons in particular and trying to decide whether or not you should table, you know, take a look at who's gonna be there. You know, are you gonna be a small fish in a giant ocean? And if you are gonna be a small fish in a giant ocean, what do you have to offer? And would it be better suited for you? You know, would you be able to cover more ground on foot? Or is it, do you think you'll be able to break even, turn a profit if that's your goal? It ultimately depends on your goal. What are you there to do? Are you there to sell or are you there to network?
The convention season, I guess, it's kicked off obviously, but it really, I guess, kicks off a little bit more in earnest. I tend to think a little bit further into the year, and maybe I'm wrong on that, but
No, I always say Emerald City is like the big first show.
and if you're listening in the U.S., it seems like there's still a good number of small and regional cons which have a lot of great folks that come through. They might not always have exhibitors that are publishers, but you can always go and, you know, get a sense of who's in your area, or talk to people and just meet people that you don't know, or meet people whose work you like. So there's, I know San Diego and New York can sometimes seem like those holy grails, and those are great to go to for, I think, specific reasons, but sometimes getting out to a smaller show in your area and getting to know your community can be pretty huge. If you don't have a local comic shop nearby where you get to know other people that might also be doing comics and making their own things. I feel like with social media now and just Google, you can tell, you know, what's in an area. So as much as it might, that was another thing, you know, getting to San Diego was never a huge goal of mine, but when the opportunity came up to go the first time, I was like, yeah, totally. And then I feel like what I learned going to San Diego the first time was, oh, this is how I should have gone to San Diego. So the next year when I went, it was completely different, like how I went. It was the plan side. It was the, who am I looking to talk to? Why am I looking to talk to them? And you know, those relationships have been great because I went in not necessarily just because I went in with a game plan, but having some amount of this is what I'm looking to do, and this is what I want to try to do, and the friendships that I made, you know, with just that attitude, is it's hard to, you know, it's hard to beat, because it, again, we're all going there for a lot of the same reasons, and we like a lot of the same things, and I think most people that do comics, you know, want to get to know other people that do comics, as much as we do like to hide in our caves and do our thing. You you root for the people that you get to know, and you want to see them succeed. And like you mentioned, sometimes the folks that you become friends with and see the caliber of not just their work but other character, you're later on in a position to be able to offer them work, and it just keeps the whole thing spinning, keeps the cycle going. Well,
yeah, the circle of comics life.
The circle of comics life. What haven't we talked about for tabling at a show?
Tabling specifically, to double in further. If someone is at your table, talk to them. Like, talk to them. Say hello to everyone. I always say, if you think you are ever going to table at a Comic-Con, but you're not quite there yet, or you're not quite sure what to do, and you're going to a show and Dirk Manning is going to be there, go and just watch Dirk Manning and how he interacts with people. For those that don't know, Dirk Manning is a comics writer. He is most known, I'd say, for his creator-owned series, Tales of Mystery, which he publishes through Shadowline Comics and Image. He does a bunch of other self-published, creator-owned horror stuff. And this man hustles. This man hustles. He knows how to hustle and brand himself and market like no one else. He greets everyone with a smile. He gets to know every single person that talks to his table. People come to his table and end up just staying there for like half an hour, just talking to him. And he talks to everyone. And I've never seen this dude just sell one book. Everyone always buys multiple things from him. He sells out all the time. And you know, he's not a big Marvel or DC guy. You know, he hasn't written Batman. He hasn't written Superman. He hasn't written the Avengers, but he sells out time and time again at every single show because he knows how to interact. He always has something new every single year to have on his table. And he just gets it. He knows how to do it. And on the flip side, you know, if you don't have a big personality like Dirk does, I also always say, look at Amy Chu, look what she does at her table. She is brilliant. And the fact that she has candy on her table, everyone loves candy. Everyone loves to stop and take candy. And if they see there's candy for free, they're going to stop and look and see what else is on the table.
Amy Chu is one of the people that I got the table with and see her in action before she had more eyes on her. And she's, you know, it's all the things you said. She's consistent with who she is and how, and you know, it's great to see those people in action, and you can mm-hmm. you can really get a sense of what they do and how they do it. And that's it's a lot of it is observation, a lot of it is being able to see people go, and those are really great examples.
Yeah, it's you know, you don't have to be the big boisterous personality, and if that's not you, you shouldn't be. But you can still talk to everyone. You can still come up. You know, it's all personal branding at the end of the day. You know, treat it like a business. You are your business. What's your brand? How are you going to market yourself? How are you going to retain customer attention? How are you going to engage those customers? I feel like I'm teaching a business class now.
These are the Heather Antos's rules of closing. We'll be getting to that next episode.
I guess so. I mean,
always be comicking.
Always be comicking. But yeah, like, you know, if you're going to table, talk to your customers. I cannot reiterate that enough.
Heather Antos Business 101. Talk yep. to your customers.
Yeah.
No, it is very true. I've had those interactions with creators that I've liked, or I guess lack of interaction sometimes, where they've just seemed kind of disconnected. And I get it. You're burnt out. You're tired. You've been up all day. You haven't eaten. It's all those things that can go into making you less engaged. Also, if you don't follow Amy Chu on Twitter, you will learn where to go eat if you do.
Yes, she's such a foodie. She's so good.
The first time I went to the New York Comic Con, she actually gave me as a GAC guide that she had, like a bonus one. It's like, that's, I can't get to many places in the two, three days I'm here, but thank you. I will try to eat as much as I can. But no, that's huge when it comes to just engaging with people. And again, like you said, don't have to be boisterous, don't have to be the world's biggest extrovert. Just have to, that's why you're there. That's what you want to do. Practice and think about what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. And you might have yourself find yourself repeating phrases and having some stock stuff, and that's okay because that's what happens, and that's part of a pitch. And I think there are genuine ways to do that, and that people expect that too, because you're there selling your product to a potential customer or to an editor or to a collaborator, and you want to figure out how to engage with people. And there's
Yeah, and I think also too, if you are there to sell, right, on top of engaging people, make sure you have things that are at different price points. Have something that's $5, have something that's $10, have something that's $25. Have a range. Because you might have a customer, and this is another thing that Amy is excellent at. She'll have things that are free. She has things that are $1. She has things that will be $50. And it just it's great because you will get fans and supporters who want to support you, but they also just spent $200 on a commission.
Right.
And so they only have a couple bucks left, and they had to pay for lodging and travel as well, and food as well, all the same stuff that you have to pay for. Just like you are going to be eating off of the dollar menu at McDonald's, you want to make sure you have a dollar menu for your fans as well. So I have mixed feelings. I think, I mean, you run into the situation where like people will just take a business card and then not buy anything. And that happens a lot. So I'm of the mind there are people that will like post a business, like they will have a business card attached to their table, and they'll, if someone asks you have a business card, then you say you can take a picture. That way you're not printing a million of these things that you're giving away for free. And but I think, I don't know, I think a cool thing with a business, if you're gonna have a business card, make sure if you have a business card that you're going to be giving to people who come by your table, then I think the key thing, or you should only do it if it's linking to a store. Like if they're not going to buy anything from you there, it gives them an opportunity to support you otherwise. If you are a, like, say you're a writer, there's no reason for you to have just business cards at your table. Have business cards in your back pocket that you can hand to someone if they ask for a business card. But it's, like, I don't know. I think having, I'm of the belief, like, have a postcard that has the diamond information for your book that's going to be coming out. Have, or with a QR code for the Kickstarter that you're running. Like, that's the sort of freebie stuff I suggest. Or have, like, a coloring page that you can give to a kid. And everything should have your information on it. But I don't, I and I know I've been a party to this as well, where you see someone's art that you really, really like, but you're not sure if you want to spend the money, so you just take the business card and then you never go back. And as a business person, you don't want to give people this opportunity, right? Like if you give everyone a business card, it's just a lottery there at that point to me. You're just playing chance, I think. But that's where con exclusives come in, I think. I think that's how, kind of how you can counter that, is having something small that is exclusive to your con year. Like sometimes for Jen Bartel, it will be an enamel pin that she does. She'll do an enamel pin that she will only have available at the cons she attends. You can't get it on her store. So for people who are buying her business card, that's cool. But this one thing they can't get there. Or same thing with a print or a t-shirt or a, you know, a special cover of a comic. Have a con exclusive that, and make it clear that that is a con exclusive, and have it be in an affordable, you know, I'd say $20 or under price range. That way, you know, if someone is going to walk away with a business card, and yes, they have the opportunity to go to your Etsy store or your website and buy something else there. But they're missing out on this one opportunity, this one chance that they have to get this one thing, and this one thing that could sell out at any moment because it is a con exclusive and everyone's going to want it.
Right, right. Well, as always, I veered us off the topic a bit, but I think that's really good. That is really good advice. I like the way you differentiated the different aspects of that, and having something that, that if the takeaway is something, it's going to get your book into their hands easier mm-hmm. or the next step of getting to your store or something that does have a call to action that makes sense. That isn't just, this is who I am, random person that might not need my business card versus the one that actually does. Well, we will be looking forward to more comics coming out from you from Valiant in the future. Currently, what is going on? What's the best way for people to continue to see what you're up to?
Same as always, Twitter is the best way. You can reach me at Heather Antos. It's just my name. Same as Instagram. My site, I need to update with where I'm going to be, when I'm going to be this year, now that I know. But yeah, Twitter as always, feel free to reach out. And I will reach out back.
Excellent. Well, if you have a question that you would like to hear talked about on the show, email info@comicsexperience.com. Tweet at Heather. You can tweet at Comic Experience on Twitter. And if you go over to comicsexperience.com, you can see what is coming up with the Comics Experience classes. There's a couple of things that are happening now. And in April, there kicks off the Comics Writing 202 class, which I guess you should have been in the 201. Shame on you if you weren't. talking about the story arcs and the art of serialized storytelling. And then there's also a 202 that's kicking off, which is the digital inking and finishing for the illustration side of things. And I guess in the future I will be pulling, what is that going to be? Magnus Penguin Fighter, I think is what we heard about on the show. That was the exclusive drop. All right, until next time, keep making comics.